I think I shared with you once before that my grandfather was a deacon in the Baptist church. And like most good little Baptist church boys, I was something else. I think Tiffany, my manager, will tell you, I ain't growed up but so far. But one of the things that I always enjoyed was to watch my grandfather do the work of a deacon in the Black Baptist Church. My last name is Mitchell. And I found out that that's of Scottish origin, and it kind of makes sense what I'm going to share with you. Because this morning, if you were to look in Wikipedia, it would tell you that in Scotland, they have a tradition of lining hymns. They call it precedent. They call it precedent. And it's still done in a lot of African-American churches. Well, I asked this morning that we look at a little YouTube video of this tradition. Because I used to see my grandfather do this. This is what I always wanted to do. So go ahead, brother. I'm ready when you are. you may wonder why I want to share that with you. In 1976, for the bicentennial, President Ford declared that February would be Black History Month. The precursor, according to Wikipedia, I'm reading it here. The precursor to Black History Month was created in 1926 in the United States when historian Carter G. Woodson and the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History announced the second week of February to be Negro History Week. This week was chosen because it coincided with the birthday of Abraham Lincoln on February 12th and of Frederick Douglass on February 14th, both of which dates Black communities had celebrated together since the late 19th century. Every once in a while, it's good to go back. One of the things that my grandparents always told me, don't forget who you are. Don't forget whose you are. And certain things were instilled in me. For this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, Michael, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein, Michael. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Raise up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he grows old, he shall not depart from it.
Amen.
Some of us are going to buck what mom and dad told us. So I'm going to tell you something right now. It's hard to kick against the pricks. You can do it. A lot of us have. And somebody wrote a play about it. And they said, your arms are too short to box with God. But you can do it. Having shared a little bit of what I got on my daddy's side. Well, I mentioned my grandfather, but my grandmother told me something. She taught us all something. She said, when you're doing that moaning, get down on your knees. You'll get a better connection.
Yes.
My grandmother on the other side taught me that begging, God like you when you're begging. God don't mind and say, Lord, did you hear me? Did you hear me, Lord? He don't mind. But one thing my grandma Flossie did very early was inculcate scriptures in me. And the first scripture that any child in our family learns, and this tradition will be carried on with my granddaughter, Charlie. She will learn the 23rd Psalm.
Amen.
We will teach her that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, did you hear me? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We used to sing a song. And the song said, down through the years, God's been good to me. Down through the years, God's been good to me. Down through the years, God's been good to me. You know God surely been good to me. All in my home, God's been good to me. Don't you know, all in my home, God's been good to me. All in my home, God's been good to me. You know God truly been good to me. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And when I think back through the years, I see that God's truly been good to me. I've seen that despite times and circumstances. Oh, I can remember 5 years ago, I went through a six-figure divorce, left with $200 in my pocket. But because the Lord is my shepherd, I have not wanted. I didn't even get but four paychecks in 2011. Four paychecks. And they didn't come till September, October, November, December. Ain't that four?
Amen.
But I always had a roof over my head. I always had clothes on my back. God always made sure I had food in my stomach. And that's why you see me so happy now. Because even when divorce and everybody that sought to take me down took everything they thought that meant something to me. After 23 and a half years of marriage, they thought they took everything from me. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, they didn't know who my shepherd is. If you was to look at this passage of scripture in Hebrew, it's really like David is saying to you, do you know who my shepherd is? My shepherd is the Lord. And because I have a good shepherd, it don't matter what you do, I'm not going to want. He's going to make sure that I lie down in a good place, that green pasture, lush grass. See, the shepherd goes before the sheep. Amen. Phil Keller, but me and Father Mark loves a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. If you really want to get into this a little deeper, Philip Keller is a Canadian that went to Africa and took care of sheep like they did in Israel. And he wrote a book about it. And he talks about this cycle of a year in the life of a sheep and all the work that a shepherd has to do. He has to go out and break up that fallow ground and make sure that it has manure and good seed. So when time comes for the sheep to be in this area at a certain time of the year, it's luscious and green. Don't you know that God is going before you? You heard our priest say that he told Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. When you was in your mother's womb, I went before you. And I prepared it all. All this, only thing you really got to do is what Mama Gross keep telling me to do. Believe him and rest in him, baby. I was up there at the altar this morning and I heard him say, all I want to do is lose myself in you. Lean back in your arms and let go now. That's all God wants you to do. He wants you to trust in him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. He wants you to, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And I promise you, he'll direct your path. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. And I promise you, he will restore your soul. It happened to me at Lazarus. Father Mike and Sister Young, they prayed for me, and I told them, I feel it like, I feel things coming out through my nose. I feel things coming in to me. Oh, he restored me. He'll lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm here to tell you that when you walk with him, he told you something. Hear me good. He said, in this life, you will have trials and tribulations. One of the great misconceptions that folks that really don't know what they're talking about, these novice preachers and these novice teachers of the word of God, they want you to think that when you become a Christian, you just got it made. But a lot of that moaning that led to that song. See, that song that lady sang was written by a fellow named Charles Wesley. You might know his brother John. He's kind of the founder of this thing called Methodist. But John and Charles Wesley were Anglicans. They really worshiped like we did. And what happened was that they started this Bible study. And this Bible study was like a systematic theology. It's sort of like a growing systematic theology. And so people start calling them Methodists because they always had this method for everything. And this led to problems. And so he was finna get the good old boot. Folks was tired of him and his methods. We've been doing this a long time. We've been doing this 1,000 and some years about your methods. You know, sometimes the most dangerous person is the know-it-all. Got all the answers, don't even know the questions yet. And in the process of this, Wesley had to sit back and think. See that first psalm say, man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he do what? Meditates day and night. See, we need to not only just take in the word, we need to do like Brother Rick do. I love listening to him and Sister Linda because they chew on this thing. I think Mama Gross, she, and I mean this in love, you know, a cow got like multiple stomachs. And they just really chew this thing up, you know. You know, folks say, how in the world a black cow eat green grass and produce white milk? Well, it chews it up a lot. There's a lot of processes going on there. Now, in 1982, I had a walk through the valley of the shadow of death experience in Biloxi, Mississippi. I was in the Air Force, and I had gone to basic training, and I got out of basic training. And when I got out of basic training, they sent me down to Biloxi, Mississippi, to Keesler Air Force Base. And before you can leave a base, you had to be there like 3 or 4 weeks. Man, I've been looking for these 3 or 4 weeks to get over. Finally, I could put on my blue jeans and whatnot and go downtown. And I was going to the movie theater. So I got on this little bus on the Air Force Base, and I ride down to the mall. And when I got to the mall, and I got off the bus, you know who was standing right there? A bunch of Ku Klux Klansmen. Had on their little white sheets. See, all these guys from New York City and all these places have been talking a whole bunch of talk. But when we got off that bus and seen them Klansmen, we went right back and got in the back of that bus. We went right back to the base. And I called my father. And I said, Daddy, this is what happened to me. My daddy said, well, ain't nothing I can do to help you, son. Well, I had been spending a lot of time at the bar on base. That Sunday I found my way to church. That very next day. And the Lord came back to me. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't want you to fear no evil. You don't have to fear no evil because I'm with you. What you mean, Lord? You with me. Those are good planners. Look, Michael. My rod. With that hook on it. I'll pull you back out of danger. Michael, don't you know that you're never outside of the radius of my rod? That stick with that big old knot on it that David could take and throw and bust a lion and a bear in the head and kill him? Don't you know that just like David had that slingshot and took that old stone and killed Goliath the same way he had killed a lion and a bear? Don't you know that all the dangers in your life, you're never outside of God's ark of safety? Oh, he's a good shepherd. A good shepherd knows the sound of each sheep. A good shepherd knows which one he has to grab and get near. A good shepherd even knows that the hard-headed sheep, the one that he had to lead the other 99 to go get. Yeah. And you know what a good shepherd will do? This for some of y'all that are going through some pains right now. God's good shepherd will break that sheep's leg. And then he'll put him on his neck. And he'll talk to him till he get that VCR in him that Jonathan was talking about. Yeah. Get his mind right. See, your mind is what Satan wants. Your mind, your thought life, your perception of yourself, your perception really of God is what Satan wants to change. Satan is, according to scripture, ruling over these things right now. Yeah. Principalities and darkness in high places. That's why we're having a lot of the problems that we're having. And that's why anytime you're trying to serve God, it seems like no good deed goes unpunished. Because what Satan really wants to do is convince you. Just like he tried to convince Jesus. Huh? Read Job if you don't believe me. And it says that the sons of God are gathered together and Satan comes in to the midst. If Satan ain't afraid to go into the very presence of God, what makes you think he's going to be afraid to come in your home? Come on your job. Come into your life and stir things up. You got to realize that though Satan has power, God has all power. Amen. That's what we're talking about. At Eucharist every week, when we say Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. When the first century Christians would meet each other, they would say, he's risen. And the good news is today that he has rose up in some of our hearts. He rose up in Wesley's heart. And Wesley says, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, who gave his son my soul to save and fit it for the sky. That's how God wants you to feel about it. He wants you to feel him because he is real. When we take in the body and the blood of Jesus today, he really lives in us. God wants you to feel him way down on the inside. Late in the midnight hour, When you're going, see, when I went through that divorce and I didn't have no money and I was sitting there and my truck was saying low fuel and I didn't know how I was going to make it. Got to make up your mind what you're going to do, Michael. And I could say to myself, I've seen him. I've seen him take care of me before. My choice is you, Lord. And next thing I know, one of my Amy's friends was like, Michael, what you doing today? I'm not doing nothing, dear. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no gas. Baby, I want you to come over to my house and rake some leaves for me. I'll give you some money. And by the end of the day, I had a tank full of gas. Or sometimes I got $20. I could put $10 in my gas tank and $5. You know, I knew all the specials at Subway and Church of Chicken and all them spots. You see what I'm saying? Am I making it real enough for you? Because what Satan wants you to think is that this is just some warm and fuzzy Sunday morning only stuff. That this stuff doesn't really impact you tomorrow morning when you go to work. You can just leave all this alone. And what I'm trying to get you to understand right now is that that's when it really matters. This is your refueling station. This is your refueling station to get you ready for the week. And I thank God for Father Mark that 6:30 tomorrow morning, I'm going to come and get filled up before I go and try to do something for Tiffany. Except for get on her last nerve. I'm good at that, but I'm trying to be good and not be myself. Thank God that as we go along, we don't go alone. We don't go alone. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Be my friend, Lord, and walk with me. Be my friend, Lord, and walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Be my friend, Lord, and walk with me. Be my friend, Lord, and walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me.
Please be patient with me. God is doing it.